I just found a Proverbs I intend to use all the time. It's in Proverbs 14, and it says, only the stall with no ox is clean, but the ox brings a wealth to your harvest. And I was like, oh my gosh.
So can that
be life is silver? Messy, but it's worth it. That's what that is. Life is messy. So what'd you say?
Can that be Tommy's bedroom?
Yes, because Tommy's messy, but he's worth it.
Exactly.
You know, because you're going to be sad when the stall is clean.
That's right.
Always worth reading Proverbs and Psalms. I'll say that as a blanket statement.
Hi, this is Holly, and welcome to Study with Friends, a Bible study community created to deepen your relationship with God through His Word, the Bible. If you miss any part of this program, or if you want to hear it again, you can download the podcast on iTunes or listen online at studywithfriends.org, where you'll also find listening guides and worksheets you can download to follow along, and sometimes bonus material we don't have time to air on the broadcast. That's studywithfriends.org. This is part 5 of The Power of Prayer. The ladies and I are doing a prayer workshop together, looking at scriptures as they relate to the prayer requests we have on our hearts. The power of praying scripture specifically over a prayer need is a tool I really want you all to have. It has made a huge difference in my prayer life, and I know it can bring something fresh into yours too. You're going to love this week. Let's get right to it.
Now, here's the first thing I would do is I would look in this. I'm sorry that we don't all have one. But yeah, that's good what you're doing, Kay. Go in the back and see if you can find. But here's the first thing you have to do is kind of think outside the box. What am I really asking for? So you said comfort, mm-hmm. and they are having grief. Those are two good words you can start with. But what are we really asking for? Peace, faith, faithfulness, right? That's the first thing you have to do. What's the real result that I'm looking for here? Not that comfort wasn't that, mm-hmm. but what does comfort look like?
Mm-hmm. Peace.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And faith. And joy. Yeah. Joy.
Joy.
Wouldn't that be really the most manifestation? Joy. So that's the first thing you have to do. If you're going to use a word to drill in, you have to think, if I just look at comfort and grief, you're going to see people who are grieving.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look for the result, you're going to see then we're going to look at Job. If we're looking for joy and grief bound circumstances, or we're just gonna look in a different place if our minds are turned towards the result we want God to accomplish. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's
so
good.
So instead of me saying, God, she needs comfort, she needs your comfort, and even peace, we've layered down into, God, could you bring joy from this?
What's the bigger thing to ask for?
Yeah, God, help her find the joy. And I can tell you, I just said a few minutes ago, it sounds awful, and maybe it comes across and it hurts your ears, but there are joyful things related to my mom's death mm-hmm. for me now.
Mm-hmm.
Joyful things. One of which is I uncovered unbelievable layer of my relationship with Jesus Christ mm-hmm. because of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
That is a joyful consequence of the pain that I went through. So it's available. He wants that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just said in John 15, I think verse 7, Jesus says, it's to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. He wants joy. What are the fruits? Joy is one of them. So let's look for joy. Peace. If you guys can look in your concordance, we're going to fast forward this because a lot of what you're going to throw at me, I'll have a sense of what that scripture is. I'll say that works or that doesn't work. But until you are really, really intimately familiar with scripture, you're probably going to have to look them all up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And we probably should look them all up just because we can get steeped in the word. That's always good. That's never bad, but I want to respect your time.
So should each one of us pick one of these things that you're talking about?
Let's just all do it together. So if you have in the back of your Bible anything that says comfort, grief, joy, or peace, why don't each of you take one of those and look for a couple things, a couple verses. And you're mature Christians. You'll know maybe it's not the one in Numbers. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Just by the virtue of the address earlier, Nancy, you said, where is that in Isaiah? And I thought, okay, logically, it's got to be towards the front.
Okay.
I thought it was 9. It was 6. So I got in the neighborhood,
right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
that's what we're looking for.
Okay.
Anybody have anything with comfort, grief, joy, or peace?
I have peace. Psalms 3:5.
Yeah, that's going to be a good one. Psalms are always, you know, worth looking at because there's, Proverbs. Those are ones you don't want to skip over. I just found a Proverbs I intend to use all the time. It's in Proverbs 14, and it says, the stall with no ox is clean, or only the stall with no ox is clean, but the ox brings a wealth to your harvest. And I was like, oh my gosh.
So can that be
life Tommy's is messy, bedroom? But it's worth it. That's what that is. Life is messy. So would you say?
Can that be Tommy's bedroom?
Yes, because Tommy's messy, but he's worth it. Exactly. You know, because you're going to be sad when the stall is clean.
That's right.
You know? Isn't that like Proverbs out of nowhere? I was like, wow, that is useful.
Remember so that.
It's always worth reading Proverbs and Psalms. I'll say that as a blanket statement. Only the stall with no ox is clean. But you need the ox.
I have a sign in my kitchen. It's not biblical, but it says, this kitchen would be clean if people would stop eating.
That's right.
And it's a reminder to me that, yeah, it would be nice to have a clean kitchen, but then I wouldn't have
But it would be sad.
You're eating with
That's
them.
Right. That's right. And, you know, we have about 30 people that come here for Thanksgiving, and about 25 of them sleep here.
Wow.
And may I say, I don't live, just for those of you who are not on site here, I don't live in an 8-bedroom house. Right. I live in a 3-bedroom ranch.
Right.
And we are just everywhere in this house. And some of my family is like, oh my gosh, are you okay? Your house is a mess. Because they know I try to keep my house pretty clean. Mm-hmm. They're like, are you okay? I'm like, I am like a pig in mud right now. I'm so happy.
Yeah.
My house is full. The mess is... makes me happy. And the mess leaves when you leave, so that helps. Okay, what was yours? Psalm
3:5.
Let me read that. Psalm 3:5 says, I lie down and sleep, I wake again because the Lord sustains me. That's good. We can do something with that.
Good.
Because you may say, help her know that when she lies down and sleeps, you will wake her again and sustain her. That speaks to me to comfort,
mm-hmm.
even though it was under peace. I will go ahead and say, Micah 7:8 for that,
mm-hmm.
which applies. I'd say there are about 30 scriptures that you can apply mm-hmm. to a lot mm-hmm. that are worth just knowing.
Yeah.
Okay, any other ones?
For peace?
Yeah, any of it. Just throw it out there.
I have Genesis 5:29 for comfort. He will comfort us in the labor and painful toil of our hands caused by the ground the Lord has cursed.
Mm. I'm going to put you on the spot. If you had to turn that into a prayer, or Leanne, do you feel like you can pull things out of that? Read it again. You know what? I'm going to pull it up. I'm going to show you what I would do with that. He will comfort us in the labor and painful toil of our hands caused by the ground the Lord has cursed. So, God, will you comfort her in the labor and painful toil of her hands in this season and cause her to have joy in the ground that you've cursed? Give her joy and comfort, though she feels cursed.
Mm-hmm.
The front of it says comfort. The end of it says cursed. I know that's how she's got to be feeling right now.
Mm-hmm.
Why me? Mm-hmm. This is awful. It's mm-hmm. awful. That one's a harder one.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are easier, but it's in there. You can pull it.
Yeah.
Or you can just say, God, would you help her feel that way? Comforted in the labor and painful toil of her hands caused by the ground you have cursed. Will you help her to feel that way? Help her. Get her there. Okay, what else do we have?
I think this is speaking of being comforting for someone else, but it's in Job 16:5. It says, but my mouth would encourage you. Comfort from my lips would bring you relief.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a great one. So if you turn that into a prayer for her friend, what would you say? Just stick with the structure of what it says right there and just drop in something more personal for her. Just change the pronoun. Change the pronoun. Don't overthink it.
But let my words encourage you and comfort.
God, let your words encourage her.
Okay.
And comfort.
Comfort from your lips.
And bring her
relief.
Mm-hmm. See? Yeah. It's all about the pronouns. Just change it. Mm-hmm. Don't overthink it. And be careful not to change scripture. Mm-hmm. So just drill into the pronouns. When he says me, my, you say would you, your, and her. Mm-hmm. Just change the pronouns. So say it again for me.
But your mouth would encourage her. Comfort from your lips would bring her relief.
Yeah. You see what I did there?
Okay. Yeah.
Do you good, I'm feeling that one, actually.
Yeah.
That's good. I'm going to write that one down. What was that?
Job 16:5.
Go ahead, Nancy. I'm sorry.
Well, the one from Philippians, before I looked it up, came to mind, and I found it. It was Philippians 4:6-7. Do not be anxious about everything, but everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Okay.
So pray that.
Now I'm going to. Yep. But change the pronouns for her friend.
It would be do not let
her
friend her be anxious about anything, but in everything that she would pray and petition you with thanksgiving.
Don't change it. Just stick with the words. Just change the pronouns.
Okay. Do not let her be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present her request to God.
Yep.
And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard her heart in her mind, encouragement. Mm-hmm. It's way simpler.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Don't overthink it. Mm-hmm. Don't overthink it. Now, you could say, you could bring it up a little more and say, and may your peace,
right,
which passes all. But you have to be careful.
Yeah.
So the easiest and safest thing to do is just change the pronouns. Right. And because she didn't share her friend's name, mm-hmm, we're not using that.
Right.
But we could. Mm-hmm. And you should.
She can, yes.
You should. I love calling it by name.
Right. But yeah, that's a person. That's for, mm-hmm, personal.
So I would say, let the peace of Sophia, or let the peace for Gianna. Mm-hmm. I think it's important to call it by name.
Yeah.
Not that God doesn't know it, but that you're speaking over it with the keys to the kingdom.
Right.
And you're saying, okay, I'm not just opening up the storehouse for her. I'm opening up the storehouse for Gianna.
Right.
And I'm drilling it right into what she needs. Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Let's look at healing. Can someone look up Leviticus 14? 1-57. Forget it. That's too much. You know what? I'm going to go ahead into the New Testament for
There's
this.
One in Numbers. It's just funny to me how you're talking about, Numbers might not be the place.
See? And God is chastising me through you.
Well, use the whole
Bible. As well it should be. As well it should be.
It may not.
Yeah, I got to tell you, if you're looking for a miracle, really good place to go is Acts. Like, every different kind of miracle is in Acts, really. Mm-hmm. Then you just drill down into the kind of miracle you're looking for.
This one in Numbers, I have to say, it's pretty plain, simple, and to the truth.
Do you have it?
It's talking about, it says, when the cloud lifted from above the tent, there stood Miriam, leprous like snow. Aaron turned toward her and saw that she had leprosy, and he said to Moses, please, my Lord, do not hold against us the sin we have so foolishly committed. Do not let her be like a stillborn infant coming from its mother's womb with its flesh half eaten away. So Moses cried out to the Lord, oh God, please heal her.
And did he?
I don't know.
Come back to us. I'm sure she was. Later. Why would they write it down? And maybe she wasn't.
Well, maybe she wasn't. Yeah. Right.
Okay, but in Acts 19, I want to point out, this is a keys to the kingdom thing. Acts 19:11-12 said, God did extraordinary miracles through Paul so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick and their illnesses were cured and the evil spirits left them. Really good to have that in your back pocket as you ask these petitions of God, because Paul wasn't Jesus. He was just like you and me. He was a hot mess, and Jesus delivered him in a radical way, and then he just followed the Lord faithfully. There's no reason for us to think we can't have the same impact. Has anybody else seen anything healing or health, disease, pain? I feel like if we look up pain, we're just going to see reasons why pain, why, you know, like Paul with the thorn in his side.
This is Deuteronomy. I'm still in the Old Testament.
Yes, please.
Deuteronomy 32:39. See now that I myself am he. There is no God besides me. I put to death and I bring to life. I have wounded and I will heal.
Ooh.
No one can deliver out of my hand.
That's good. What is that?
Deuteronomy 32:39.
32:39. It's just one verse?
I didn't read any more into
it. No, but that was all in just 39?
That was all 39.
Okay. Yeah, I like that. Say it again.
See now that I myself am he. There is no God besides me. I put to death and I bring to life. I have wounded and I will heal. And no one can deliver out of my hand.
I like that.
How would you pray that?
I would say, now I have to look at it. I would say, there is no God beside you. You put to death and you bring to life. You have wounded and you will heal. And no one can deliver Tom out of your hand. I know you want more. Mm. It's okay. But I like that one for Hannah.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
I was gonna say for Hannah,
yeah, she's struggling. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know. We'll get you more for him. But I like that one for her. Yeah. And there's a submission implied in that.
Did you say it was a 6-month-old baby girl?
Yeah.
There's a submission in that one, though, that's reluctant submission, yeah, that it's in his hand and he can take it either way. Mm-hmm. But that's okay. That's part of praying and being submissive. Okay, so in Matthew 9:18-25, it records the raising of the dead girl. So here's what I would do with that. While he was saying this, a synagogue leader came and knelt before him and said, my daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her and she will live. Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. Just then, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, if I only touch his cloak, I will be healed. Jesus turned and saw her and said, take heart, daughter, he said. Your faith has healed you. And the woman was healed at that moment. When Jesus entered the synagogue leader's house and saw the noisy crowd and people playing pipes, he said, go away. The girl is not dead, but asleep. But they laughed at him. After the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took the girl by the hand, and she got up. News of this spread throughout all the region. This is a tricky one. I would take this scripture, and I would do two things with it. I would say, God, even on your way to do a miracle, you did a miracle. So you're never too busy. You're never too occupied to see and heal all the people that need you. If you are strong enough to raise from the dead, we know that you are. We're asking you to raise life back into his limbs, bring life back into his limbs. This isn't an easier one. He did cure a paralytic, though. Mm-hmm. So where's that? You probably know that one off the top of your head.
I think it's Matthew.
Gosh, I was just trying to look for vagaries, but there's one right in there that's specifically what you want him to do.
Stand up and walk.
Merry Christmas. What's the matter with me? John 5:8. Yeah, that's what I was talking about earlier. You can just hold your Bible up, open to John 5:8 and say, you did this. Do it again. This is what you did. This is exactly what we're asking for. So John 5:8 says,
get up.
Get up, pick up your mat and walk. At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked away. I would just claim that. I would say, God, you did that. You can do it. We believe you can do it. Do it again. Do it here.
Isaiah 38:16 says, Lord, by such things people live, and my spirit finds life in them too. You restored me to health and let me live.
Yeah, I would drop a name and restore mm-hmm. Tom to health and let him live. Mm-hmm. That's a double meaning to live there. Mm-hmm. The layers of life. Restore Hannah to life and let her live.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Do you feel like this was enough? I know we're just scratching the surface.
It's going to take practice.
Mm-hmm. It takes practice. And the truth is, once you do it, by the way, I'm going to tell you what I just did. I just Google it. Mm-hmm. The words that I know, like, I'm like, what is it? I just Googled stand up and walk. Mm-hmm. That's what I Googled. And that's what came up. So of course you should be in your Bible. Of course you should learn how to use a concordance. But if you're in a pinch, just Google it. God bless Google. Because what the world meant for evil, God can use for good, i.e. the internet.
But you do have to know your Bible somewhat, know that you're getting a reliable source.
Yeah, I will say that most of the time, it's BibleHub.com that comes up. And that's very reliable. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's because most of the time, what I'm doing is I'm just Googling a phrase. Right. Like, I know a piece of it.
Right. That's what I mean. You have to have
Yeah, and they'll get me the rest of the way there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you for bringing that up. You do want to be careful and filter. Okay. Then I'm going to end with talking about prayer journals, which is the next few pages in the worksheet. And I gave lots of pages for you to workshop this later. Prayer concerns, finding the appropriate scripture, and then writing out the prayer. I also really do like writing out the prayer. I do think you should say it out loud, but I do like writing it, like constructing it. You were talking about that at the beginning. There's a discipline to that. Mm-hmm. And it helps you. It's just sometimes it helps you process it. But maybe you make a note on there, like keep it simple, look for pronouns, like a few little hints. And then behind that, I feel very strongly about the idea of a prayer journal. I'm going to close with that, tell you why I feel strongly about that. As we look at the Bible, of course, we know is God's love letter to his people throughout time. And it's very all-encompassing, and it provides for us the richness and the blessings and the instructions and the wisdom that we all can benefit from. I firmly believe that the prayer journal, if you begin it and are faithful to it, becomes God's love letter to you personally. Mm-hmm. Let me show you that I don't just love all my people. I love Kay Brown. Let me show you. I love Nancy Lesko. Let me show you mm-hmm. how I personally love you. You have to be faithful to it because it's like I said, with respect to my mom's death, I had to be looking for things that were a blessing in that. I could have been bitter and walked away. That would have been my choice. God doesn't change. God would have been the same God throughout both of those experiences, but my intention has to be set towards him. When we send our intention towards him, it doesn't come back void. He is faithful to that. So when we write down the things that we're worried about, the things that we want to talk to him about, the things that we want to praise him for, the things that we want to acknowledge him for. Oh my gosh, I saw you today, God. Yeah. And you were amazing. And I don't want to forget that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to write that down. Again, I'm just encouraging you not to put down all the crummy stuff that you're upset about. Put down the good stuff. See him. Write the date that whatever it is happened. If you're putting an appropriate scripture in there, put it in. And then keep another side where you wait and expect God's movement. Habakkuk 2:1 says, I will stand and watch and wait for the Lord. Watch and wait. Be alert. And I do a lot on digital now because I have my phone with me all the time. But anytime I have my Bible with me, I have my prayer journal. And I want to show you, and I wish, maybe I'll blur it out because some of these prayers are really personal. But maybe I'll put a picture on the website. Because here's the thing. This is called a steno notebook. And it has a line down the center of the page. But what I do is on the left, you can see I put the date. And then I put down the things that I have concerns about. Or that I'm asking. Or sometimes I'll drop in, I'll say, I'll shorthand it. Mm-hmm. Which is funny. but I'll shorthand it. I'll just say, I know you didn't give it a spirit of fear. You know, I'll shorthand with him. He knows what I'm talking about. He knows the scripture I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. So I'll write it in there because I try to keep it brief because it's, you know. And then I'll watch and wait. Mm-hmm. And on the other side, when God moves or he heals or he changes or he shows me that he is intimately involved with this actual little minute detail in my tiny little life of 7 billion people on the planet, mm-hmm. that this tiny little thing, yeah, he's on that. And I just want to show you, there isn't a lot of empty space on the left side of my prayer journal. Mm-hmm. That's not because of anything except that I watched and waited. Part of watching and waiting, honestly, is going back and reading my prayer journal and saying, oh my gosh, you did something there. And I might not have noticed if I hadn't written it down that I asked you to do it. Because the busyness of my life, I moved on. I put it in your hands and I was like, okay, do something. Years later, like I can put, here's one, you can testify. This one is a date of June 30th, 2004, and it's answered January 3rd, 2005. You have to pay attention. A lot of prayers answered. You see my little notation. That's when Greg came back to the Lord. That was the date. And I just was able to go through and just knock off all kinds of prayers. And I wasn't going to leave empty spaces. I was going to put every little thing that I had asked and he had done. This is an intentionality that you have to go back. And you know what's interesting? The later dates, there's more white spaces because sometimes God takes his time. But if I'm paying attention 10 years later, I'm still going to go back and write something in there if I'm paying attention. So I really feel strongly about this. I think it's better to have a steno notebook. It fits inside my Bible case. Mm-hmm. I think this is a good start, these worksheets that I gave you, but they don't fit in your Bible or they're going to get lost with all the other papers.
Father, we thank you for the time that you've given us together today, Lord, just to dive into your word together. To hear different views, Lord, to talk about prayer, just to talk about prayer with one another and how important just having conversations with you is, Lord. How can we see what we need to pray for? How can we see how the prayer is answered? Is it what we prayed for, God, or is it not? And how will we use that, Lord, to understand how the prayer was answered? Father, I thank you for Nancy. Thank you for Leanne and Brittany for being here today, Lord, to just talk together, to just spend time together in your word. I thank you for Holly, Lord, for taking your call, for answering the call that you gave her, to bring a group of women together and study, to learn, to grow, to just grow in our faith walk through intentional study, through intentional prayer. So God, we lift up those that are listening. God, we just pray that prayers are answered. Mm-hmm. And we pray, Lord, that as the prayers are answered, that we can see, that we can grasp and understand the way that you have answered them. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we just give it to you. We ask that everything that we do would be pleasing to you and just shine your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
I hope you found some valuable insight in this prayer series. I'm sorry it's over. It has been one of my favorites. If you need to catch up with us, don't forget you can do that online or on iTunes, or if you'd like the entire series on CD, we'd love to send it to you for a donation of any amount. Please visit studywithfriends.org/donate for giving options. Study with Friends is a listener-supported program, and we're kept on the air by your faithful prayers and financial support. That's studywithfriends.org/donate. We believe in the importance of your local church. If you don't regularly attend Sunday services and a small group Bible study, please find one. Be discerning. Make sure the church is teaching the Bible every week and in every small group situation. See you next time on Study with Friends.